continue with our shipwrecked series today. And we haven't yet quoted one of the most famous stories of shipwreck in our English language, and that is Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe. And at one point, Robinson Crusoe in the novel writes this in his journal. "I, poor, miserable Robinson Crusoe, being shipwrecked during a dreadful storm, came on shore on this dismal, unfortunate island, which I called the Island of Despair, all the rest of the ship's company being drowned and myself almost dead." The Island of Despair. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like you lived there for a while? Maybe you're on the Island of Despair now, or maybe you can remember a time when you've been on the Island of Despair. And you know, I want to suggest to you this morning that sometimes when we are on the Island of Despair, it's really a crisis of faith. You might be surprised to know that this kind of crisis of faith that sends us into despair is something that is fairly common to human beings. The Psalms express the whole range of human emotion, and Psalm 130, which we read together this morning, expresses some of that. It begins with these words, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my prayer." You can just hear the pleading. "Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." And then there's that psalm that Jesus quoted from the cross that is also a familiar one. He said, he cried out from the 22nd psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, by night, and find no rest." Sometimes the crisis of faith that we experience is really a result of having recently or at some time in the past simply turned our back on God and gone in our own direction and done what we wanted to do. And the book in the Bible that describes one of those times is the book of Jonah. If you recall, the book of Jonah begins like this. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship bound for Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." The Lord told him to go to Nineveh, and Tarshish is the clear opposite direction. So that's what he decided to do. And then the scripture tells us that a great storm came up on the ocean and that the sailors tried their best to save the ship. And finally, when they had done all that they could do, each of them bowed down and prayed to their own God. Apparently, it was an international crew. And Jonah also was there, but maybe didn't pray because Jonah knew, he thought he knew why the storm came up. And so he went to the sailors and he said, "If you throw me overboard, the storm will stop." And they didn't want to do that. And so they rowed harder and they worked harder. And finally, when it became clear that they were going to all be lost anyway, they threw Jonah overboard. Now, of course, here's where the story gets a little bit weird. Because the storm did indeed stop and a whale swallowed Jonah. And it seems that maybe not right away, but after a little bit, Jonah came to his senses and started to pray. And of course, Our God is a God of mercy. And so if you know the story, you know that the whale threw Jonah up, and guess where he threw him up? Nineveh. So finally Jonah did the Lord's will. And the book of Jonah then records, this is from Jonah chapter 3. The people of Nineveh believed in God as a result of Jonah's preaching. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. And he goes on to proclaim that this is a time of repentance. So Jonah was finally faithful. Of course, we know that after that, Jonah did a little bit of whining, and he said to God, I just knew you would do this. I knew you wouldn't destroy them. I knew that that's what would happen if I preached. But that's another part of the story. Jonah's experience of despair and his experience of being in the storm was a result of his turning in the opposite direction. Currently, our signboard outside, I don't know if we have a picture of this or just the saying, our signboard says, if God seems far away, guess who moved? And you know, that is often true. But I want to share with you this morning that that's not always true. Because sometimes when we are on the island of despair, sometimes when we feel like our faith is shipwrecked, we can't figure out what we've done, and maybe we haven't done anything. Maybe there's no reason that we have caused that we feel in this place of hopelessness and despair and shipwreck. And maybe I want to suggest to you this morning that sometimes when we are in that place, it is God calling us deeper into faith. Because, you know, we human beings like feeling good. We like feeling close to God. We like feeling that our prayers are answered in exactly the way that we have prayed them. But that doesn't always work out in our lives. And a mentor of mine, a wise mentor, once said to me, you know, it's kind of like when you're going to climb a mountain. Maybe when you first see the mountain, you see the plain leading up to it and the tree-covered hillside, and maybe if it was a mountain like the one that I saw recently in Alaska, you see the snow-capped top of it, and you are in awe and wonder. But he said as you hike and as you get closer to that mountain, you see less and less of it. And finally, when you're on the trail going up the mountain, sometimes if it's a steep trail or it's a difficult trail, all you see is where you're planting your feet. And he said, sometimes our faith is like that. Sometimes when we first experience the presence of God and we first experience God's mercy, we are in awe and wonder and we just feel God's presence, and it's a wonderful feeling. But as we live our faith day by day by day and grow closer to God, often there are less of those feelings because the Holy Spirit lives within us, and it becomes a natural and everyday part of our lives that we hardly even notice. As we draw closer to God, we have fewer, perhaps, of those highs because we're living in God's presence. We're walking close to God every day, and maybe God is challenging us to live without the drama and to just be faithful day by day. What God asks of us in those times is just to continue to be faithful. Continue with our time of prayer, even when we don't feel those highs. Continue with scripture reading. Continue with gathering together in worship with one another and singing not for the good feelings, but singing simply to praise God. What God asks of us in those times is to continue to serve in the places where we are called to serve and to live and to move in pure faith. I remember early in my ministry, it was a high. You know, I felt God's call and I was in such awe that God had called me. And the first time I began to serve a church, it was a wonderful feeling. And of course, when you're a new pastor, people pat you on the back and give you words of encouragement, and it's a wonderful time. But eventually those high feelings fade. And for me, it turned to a sense of heavy responsibility. The heavy responsibility of speaking the word of God to God's people and leading God's people. And when I didn't have those feelings anymore, I began to doubt whether I really got it wrong, whether I really did have a call, whether God was really still calling me to be here in this place. And there was one time that I can remember that it became very clear to me. I very clearly heard the voice of God saying, "You are where you are until I tell you something different." And then I knew. Then I knew that I was being called to a deeper, more pure faith, to continue to just be faithful in spite of not having all of those good and high feelings that I had in the early times. There are times when that feeling of being on the island of despair and being separated from God are a result of our own actions. But there are also times when God is drawing us deeper. That psalm that we read earlier begins with words of despair. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice." But then it moves into, "But there is forgiveness with you, O Lord, so that you might be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope." My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. And you can see the evolving of the psalmist's faith. The Apostle Paul expressed the same thing in the scripture verse that Birgit read for us this morning. "So we do not lose heart," Paul writes. "Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." And you might just replace that word "seen" with "felt," so that it reads, "Because we look not at what can be felt, but at what cannot be felt. For what can be felt is temporary. But what cannot be felt is eternal." This is the kind of pure faith out of which one of my favorite hymns comes, and that is the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." It was written by Horatio Spifford, and Horatio had lost his only son to scarlet fever, and he decided to help his family and encourage his family after this loss by sending them on a trip to Europe to hear the great evangelist D.L. Moody preach And then after they joined him on some of his evangelistic services, they were going to have a vacation. And so it came the day for their ship to depart for Europe, and business unexpectedly kept Horatio behind. And so he sent his wife Anna and his daughters on ahead, and he stayed behind, promising that in the next few days he would take another ship and join them. Well, the weather was good. It was smooth sailing. The trip went well. Until on the night of November 22nd, 1873, the ship that Anna and his four daughters were on collided with another ship, and 266 people, including Horatio's four daughters, were lost. His wife Anna was found barely conscious, clinging to a piece of debris. The few survivors of that shipwreck were taken to Cardiff, Wales, and from there, Anna cabled Horatio with these two words, "Saved alone." Well, Horatio took the next ship that he could book to join Anna in Wales. And one dark, cold December night, the captain took Horatio aside and said, "I think we're sailing over the place where your daughters were lost." Well, through that sleepless night, Horatio recorded in his journal, "It is well, the will of God be done." And after that, a few days after that, he wrote that familiar hymn that we all have enjoyed. In the face of a terrible shipwreck, this hymn was written, and it has helped countless people in their own time of shipwreck and despair down through the ages. And so I invite you this morning to sing this song one more time, and to sing it perhaps as a prayer of faith.